Are you working too many hours, even neglecting your family? Do you allow others to take advantage of you? Well, would you like some help getting boundaries set that'll restore your joy, your peace, and your priorities? Well, today we're going to begin a journey together to discover 10 boundaries God has established for you to enjoy life at its best. Stay with me.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip serves as our Bible teacher on this daily international discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip begins a series called God's Boundaries for Abundant Living, a fresh look at the Ten Commandments. Over the next several weeks, we'll learn how to better value the boundaries God put in place for our benefit, and then how they can help us experience a life of blessing we all long for. Well, now here's Chip with his first message, No Gods But God, from Exodus chapter 20.
I have four quick questions to ask. Question number one, have you ever had anyone walk up to you that you didn't know very well and get about 3 inches from your face and started talking? And then you unconsciously start backing up and they just keep moving forward? And the result was discomfort. They invaded your space. It was just kind of weird. Question number two, have you ever gone to a family picnic or a corporate picnic and played volleyball with a group of people you didn't know and had one person on your team that no matter where the ball went, like it's coming right to you, and they knock you out of the way as they actually take the entire side and they hit everybody's ball? And on good days, it's a little irritating. On bad days, you start to get mad. Question number three, have you ever been driving a little more serious down the road and you don't know whether the person was drunk or whether they dropped a CD or something and looked down or they were answering a phone call, but as you're driving, a car goes left of center and you at the last second have to jerk and go off the road and then jerk back on and your heart's going like this and you're thinking, oh my lands. And it went from fearful to danger to outright anger as your response. That ever happened to you? Fourth question, have you ever had a parent or a child or a boss or a close friend ask you to do something and you knew you didn't want to do it, it wasn't a moral issue, you didn't have to do it, you knew in your heart it wasn't the right thing for you, but they kept pushing and pushing and talking and made you feel guilty enough until you said yes. And then afterwards, while you were doing it, you're going, boy, I hate this, this makes me, anyone ever that? All four of those things have one thing in common. There was a violation of boundaries. Each one of us has boundaries or space. And that boundaries or space is what we need in order to have healthy, growing relationships. And your space on the volleyball court, we all have personal space and boundaries. You have your side of the road and they have their side of the road. And when they cross into your side of the road, and whether it's the relational road or the physical road, when someone violates your boundaries, it produces anything from a mild irritation to discomfort, to anger, to fear, toward breaking off a relationship. A boundary, quite simply put, is this. It's where one person stops and another person starts. It's where one thing stops and another thing starts. And where the one stops and the other starts is called a boundary. And boundaries are often given by markers or verbally, boundaries are created by the word no. No, you can't stand that close to me. No, you can't hit the ball in my space. No, you can't drive your car on my side of the road. And no, you can't make me do your agenda if it's not God's will for my life, no matter how guilty you try to make me feel. Boundaries are essential for all of us. Boundaries are essential for health. Boundaries are essential for relationships. Boundaries are essential for you to do life in a way that honors God. And are you ready for this? God has boundaries. You know, there's a book. I had a chance about 8 or 10 years ago to be at a conference with about 10 pastors of large churches, and we all had similar pressures, and we all got away in a little cabin for about 3 days. And Henry Cloud came, who wrote the book on boundaries. And we had a good time just talking about how hard it is as a senior pastor to keep boundaries to protect your family and your personal life and boundaries where you work out and keep your health because there's so many pulls and so many demands. As I talked with Henry Cloud, I was amazed. I said, where did you get all this stuff? And he had some theological training. He said, you know where I got it? He said, I did about a 3-year internship, and I did it in a mental health ward. And I just watched people after people after people after people try and live their life to please everyone and all the psychological damage that it did. And as I kept reading through, it was a time in my life, a real struggling time. And he said, often I would go away for 5-6 hours a day and do nothing but read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And I saw how clearly God outlined boundaries. And one of the most important times God lays out boundaries is in the Old Testament when he wants to take a people and make them distinct and help them understand. Help them understand who he is, where he stops, and how they need to stop in relationship with one another and where you give room for other people to start. And the title of the series is called God's Boundaries. It's a fresh look at the Ten Commandments. If you'll go ahead and pull out your little study guide, teaching handout, I want to dig in with you and take a fresh look at the Ten Commandments, but look at them through the perspective of boundaries. When boundaries are broken, relationships falter. Reuben Shelley, in a book called Written in Stone, Ethics from the Heart, writes this when looking back at the 60s experiment, and then the 70s and the 80s. And at the heart of all that he's going to say is that boundaries were destroyed. He says the theme of the 60s was anti-establishment. In the protest against government, family, church, people who assumed that God was dead sank into self-destructive era of drugs, uninhibited sex, and moral anarchy. Next, we moved into the self-absorbed decade of the 70s. Tom Wolfe dubbed it the decade of me, and its bestsellers were Looking Out for Number One and Winning Through Intimidation. We endured then the golden age of greed, the decade of the 80s. Athletes gambled on sporting events. Wall Street kingpins were jailed for insider training. Officials in government were caught in sex, drug, and influence peddling scandals. Now and later, the 90s and the early 21st century were faced with a crisis of ethics. Once what we took for granted as common decency is now uncommon. The utterly outrageous has become ordinary. Boy, you believe that, don't you? If I see one more reality TV program, the latest one, Trading Spouses. The obscene is commonplace. Our code of ethics has eroded in such a massive scale that we've become cynical about morality, and we sense that something is terribly, terribly wrong with the spiritual fabric of our world. Since 1960, listen carefully, violent crime in America has increased more than 500%. A Justice Department study in 1987 predicted that 8 out of 10 Americans will be a victim of a violent crime in their lifetime. Crime is so prevalent in America that Americans have altered their lifestyles out of fear. Whole sections of major cities are considered unsafe. I've been where policemen have said, don't drive in that area of town. We can't guarantee any protection. 1/4 of the population have put in home security systems. Shoppers worry about where to park at shopping malls. Women carry mace in their glove compartments and purses. More and more people are carrying guns, and newspapers and talk shows document the fact that crime is the most important subject on people's hearts. He wrote that before terrorism began to occur. What I want to suggest is that we did an experiment in the 60s where we cast off restraint or boundaries, and the overwhelming consensus in our day is we need a moral compass. We need a North Star. We need a roadmap. We need a foundation for truth. As someone wisely said, we did our own thing, and now our own thing is doing it to us. But the problem in our world, our current dilemma, is which boundaries? You may have heard William Bennett a few years ago wrote a book on virtues, and it's very politically correct to talk about ethics. Ethics courses popped up in the mid to late 90s in all kind of business schools. The problem is when you get specific. No one can agree on what is right and what is wrong. As Francis Schaeffer said, when you remove absolutes and there is no right and there is no wrong, then people will begin to erode all kind of boundaries. We've eroded boundaries about marriage. We've eroded boundaries about right and wrong. We've eroded boundaries about what is life and what is death. And things that were unthinkable 30 or 40 years ago, now we have live babies in the 8th or 8th and a half month that are perfectly healthy being aborted because the boundary has been shifted and we say that's not a real person until they come out of the womb. Now we say if people aren't useful to society, we kill them prematurely and we give it a fancy name because the boundary between what is life and what's of value has been changed. And well, here's the deal. Unless we get clear on the boundaries that God has set, we're in trouble. In fact, I know we're in trouble when instead of Billy Graham or a Christian leader telling the world that we need to have boundaries, it becomes Ted Koppel. You know, Ted Koppel, Mr. Nightline himself. This is a quote out of his address to the University of Duke at their graduation. Ted Koppel of Nightline says, "Our society finds truth too strong a medicine to digest. In its purest form, truth is not a polite tap on the shoulder. It's a howling reproach. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai were not the 10 suggestions. They were the 10 commandments." Notice he says they are, not were. The sheer brilliance of the 10 commandments is that they codify in a handful of words acceptable human behavior, not just for then or now, but for all time. Now that's not a preacher. That is a man at Duke University who has a nighttime talk show looking at our world and saying, something's got to change. He closes that speech at that commencement by saying, "There is a harmony and inner peace to be found in following a moral compass that points in the same direction, regardless of fashion or trend." As you turn the page, what I'd like to do with you is look at God's boundaries for abundant living. So often when we think of the Ten Commandments, we've been informed far more by Charlton Heston and a movie than we are Scripture. And we have a picture of a very angry God with lightning bolts coming out of a mountain, steaming down on people and putting something on some stone tablets in order to make people do what they're supposed to do. And what I want to tell you is that is an unbiblical position of what the Scripture has to teach. Is that just as there is a double yellow line on a curved road that is at a boundary that says, do not pass so that you can be protected, God gave the Ten Commandments. Just as there is a boundary that says that when people get so close, you need enough space for your own protection, let alone the germs, God set out boundaries like guardrails that go around a winding road to protect and provide grace and direction and help. And what I want to do in the next 10 sessions together is I want to look at God's boundaries, whose purpose is for abundant living, who's rooted in grace, who longs for you to have the best in relationships, who longs for you to know him, who longs for you not only to have a vertical relationship with him, but a horizontal relationship with one another that is deeper and better than you could ever dream. And so on one tablet, he put boundaries or commands about your relationship with him. And on another tablet, he put boundaries about your relationship with other people. And so let's look at boundary number one, or literally it's called the 10 words. It's referred to as the 10 commandments, and in other places it talks about the law. But literally it's the 10 words. And as we dig in together, you'll notice on the inside of your notes, there's three things you need to understand what's going on in the 10 commandments. First is who gave us the 10 commandments. Second, when and to whom did he give them? And third, why did he give them? So let's start with the who. We've got Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, and I put them on your notes. "And God spoke all these words, and he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." Notice they didn't come from a summit or a seminar of worldwide leaders. They came from God. Notice, secondly, the who that gave him is the capital L-O-R-D. That is Yahweh or Jehovah. The theologians call it a tetragrammaton. It is four letters with no vowels in Hebrew. It was too holy or too sacred. And the best that the theologians can come up with, it's the core Hebrew word of the verb to be. I am that I am. The everlasting one. So first, what we learn is who gave him? There is an eternal one. And second, you'll notice, I, the Lord God, gave you. Personal pronouns. God is eternal. He's outside of time. But he's also personal and intimate. He says, I, Yahweh, the Lord, your God. And third, notice, it's in the context of grace. The Ten Commandments didn't come out of some blank slate where God said, I am God, do this. It came after he had delivered Israel. The Israelites lived in a world of Egypt for 400 years. They were over 1,500 gods. Their kids grew up with 1,500 competing gods saying, this is true. And at the top of all the gods was Pharaoh. If you study carefully, you'll learn that those 10 plagues, those were the 10 top gods in Egypt. And when Moses was given power by God to defeat each one of those plagues, and finally Pharaoh and Pharaoh's son, it was a way where God was letting his people know, I am superior to all the gods in all the world. I am the Lord your God who delivered you. They've seen the Red Sea part. They see the enemies and the hardship. They've seen the Red Sea close back over. They are talking about a God who said, I love you, I care for you, I delivered you, I'm for you now. I want to give you some boundaries. I want to show you how to live in such a way where you can enjoy the deepest, best relationship with me possible and the deepest, best relationship with one another. And see, here's the problem with the Ten Commandments. I mean, we think about them being on walls. These are the most revolutionary 10 words in the history of mankind. They have shaped law. They have shaped relationships. How we think, how the world thinks, is rooted in. But you know what? Before they came, they weren't around. They weren't around. God is giving this truth to his people out of his love and out of his mercy so they could experience him and experience in relationally people not going left of center. And God didn't want the discomfort and the irritation and the fear and the anger and the pain when boundaries are violated with him or with one another. So the first thing to understand is who gave them. They come from an eternal God who is personal, who is loving, and then notice the last line, who is all-powerful. He says, I brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. And then the command. The command is, you shall have no other gods before me. So when did it occur and to whom? Open your Bibles, if you will, to chapter 19 of Exodus. And in the first six verses, we get a little background on when were they given and to whom. It's in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt. So they've been through all this preparation and let my people go and the 10 plagues and all the chaos and all the pain. And then finally they're set free and then they think they're gonna die and then they get to the water's edge and God opens the Red Sea. And so they've been about 3 months. They're just literally starting to get a little sense of a daily rhythm. You know, the fire and the cloud and it's leading them. And so they've been 3 months to the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. And after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, God of power, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, a God of compassion. See, in their day, that eagle's wings would very quickly was a word picture. That they in their day would have been out in nature and seen how a mother eagle would take those eaglets and fly and then tilt the wings and drop them, and they would flap and flap and then just at the last second swoop under and take care of them. He's giving them a picture of, I'm the God of the most awesome power you have ever dreamed of. But I'm a God who cares for you as a people the way an eagle cares for its eaglets. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on these eagle wings, brought you to, notice the goal, myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandments, then out of the nations you'll be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words to speak to the Israelites. When? 3 months after the deliverance. Who? To a people in bondage for 400 years. To Israel. And notice his treasured possession. These are words of life and grace and encouragement. These are words, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. These are words are saying to a group of people, all the earth is mine. I created it, but a part of my plan, you are special, and I'm going to bring you to myself for me. This isn't about me giving you a straitjacket of rules and you've got to keep these rules. I'm going to give you these boundaries in order that you can share with me at an intimate level what no person has ever experienced. And then we'll learn from later in Scripture that I want to take this nation and I want to take it like a piece of coal and take it through a process where you become a diamond in the rough. And when I give you my law and my presence and my power, all the world will see through this diamond the glory and the glitter and the beauty of the God eternal on this planet. And that was his goal. And so he's going to give him words of life. He's going to give him the 10 words, the 10 boundaries, so they could have a relationship with him and a relationship with one another. Why did he give him? Notice in chapter 20, skip down to verse 20. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Remember that the mountain has shaken now. The smoke has gone up, lightning bolts. Basically, by this time, they're saying, hey, Moses, if God wants to talk again, you talk to him. I think we got the message. He's scaring us to death. Moses says to them, don't be afraid. God has come to test you. Why? So that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Verse 21, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. God gave these 10 words to reveal himself. How do you know God's character of purity? The 10 words, the 10 commandments. How do you know what God wants for relationships? The 10 words, the 10 commandments. God gave these to reveal himself, and he gave them to protect the people and to protect us from sinning. When you miss the mark, that's what sin is. When you miss the mark in relationships, when you miss the mark with God, what is always the result? Doesn't it bring pain? Doesn't it bring fallout? Doesn't it bring chaos? It's not just a matter of don't have sex before marriage. Do you think God knew about herpes? Do you think God knew about HIV positive? Do you think God knew about AIDS when he gave that command? Do you think God knew about all the psychological studies we've done that when we find that people live together before they get married, that the sexual satisfaction in the marriage is much less than those who don't? That the divorce rate is 50% higher? That the chances of being a one man or one woman mate really goes down when people live together? Why do you think God gave these rules? Because out of his mercy and his love and his grace, he knew what would protect us. Sin always brings death. Death is separation and pain and chaos. These are not 10 laws that are a straitjacket that you've got to do them because there's a big God and he's so big he can make everyone do what he says. These are the 10 words of an ultimate, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal Father who is absolutely holy and pure and knows you and loves you and your children and loves you in your marriage and in your singleness and in your teen years and in your sunset years and has given words of life that if you obey them, it will keep you from sin. It will allow you to know him, and it will allow you to meet God in ways beyond what you ever dreamed.
Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message, Know God's But God, is from his series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. As Chip explained today, rather than a harsh list of prohibitions, the commandments are actually life-giving instructions from a heavenly Father who loves his children. God's Boundaries for Abundant Living provides a high view of God that'll give you a new appreciation of your relationship with him, creating a solid foundation for every aspect of your life. If that's something you'd like to learn more about, we want to help. For a limited time, the CDs for God's Boundaries are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. You'll find God's Boundaries resources on our website, livingontheedge.org. Or if you'd prefer to talk with one of our customer care representatives, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, you know, when we think about the Ten Commandments, I think a lot of people imagine an angry God just waiting for us to mess up. What resource do we have that could help people get an accurate view of God and then really see these commandments as the loving boundaries he set up for our good?
Well, Dave, you need to understand that God's boundaries come out of his heart.
Yeah.
And his heart is as a father that wants to protect his children. Hmm. And until you hear his voice, until you really understand personally, not what someone else says about the Bible, but until you get into the scriptures yourself and hear the Holy Spirit speak compassion and protection and encouragement in your heart, it's very difficult to see the Ten Commandments as anything more than rules I have to follow. And what we all know is we can't in and of ourselves. And that's honestly why we've created a free video resource called How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture. It's 5 brief online videos where I literally walk people through step by step how to get into God's Word. I just find so many people that they just tell me, you know, I tried reading the Bible and I just don't get it. I read so many chapters and it's just performance. What we want you to know is that there's an easy, clear way. There's a daily pattern of spending time with God, and you can learn to hear His voice. And when you do, He'll direct your life. People who say, I've never opened God's Word and say, I don't know where to begin, this video series will help you start sort of at point A and begin to hear God's voice and learn to study Scripture for yourself. We're really excited about putting this in people's hands, and it's absolutely free.
Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great resource from Living on the Edge. Whether you're opening the Bible for the first time or you've been reading it for years, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice to a whole new level. You can do these 5 video sessions on your own time, at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org to check out this free video resource and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now here's Chip to wrap up today's program.
As we launch on this brand new journey together, I hope that you will really lock on with me and study the Ten Commandments, and I pray that you'll see them like never before. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up and, you know, I heard the Ten Commandments, and, you know, I was that little boy that, you know, they took to church until I didn't have to go anymore. And the Ten Commandments were like these big, heavy things that were on the wall. And you know what? They are big and they are heavy, but what we forget is that they're given by a God of grace, the God who, when He gave them, and there was thunder and lightning, and they heard His voice, and the people trembled. He was putting up guardrails in a very evil world to protect them from all the things that would destroy their lives. He knew that they worshipped other gods, they'd be destroyed. He knew that if they would create idols or would not obey the things that He laid out, He was giving them a way to live that would produce intimacy and joy and prosperity. And that's what the Ten Commandments were designed to do. In fact, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, does a lot of work to explain, you know, you have heard it said. And what He talks about is how people took the Ten Commandments and put them as balls and chains around people's necks and weights that they couldn't hold. And He said, you know, the spirit of the Ten Commandments, the spirit of God's truth, it was really to liberate. It was really to protect. And so we're going to have a really great time. And I want you to know that we all struggle with idols. I mean, we talked about this. And the idol can be your wife, your husband, your job, money, your looks, your body. It can be all kind of different things, but none of those things can deliver. And so what we talk about here at Living on the Edge a lot is becoming a Romans 12 Christian, being a grace-oriented, relationally connected follower of Christ. And so these guardrails of the Ten Commandments are the Old Testament picture of this is what's best for you. In Romans 12, what God does, He says, look, here's how it plays out in your relationship with Me, with the world, with yourself, with believers, and with unbelievers. If you want to take a little time and go to the website, download the message notes for this message for free, let me encourage you to do that. Let's go on a journey together.
Well, as Chip just suggested, one of the best ways to get the most out of this series is to download his message notes and use them as you listen. Chip's message notes contain his outline, scripture verses, and much more. Best of all, Chip's message notes are completely free. Just go to livingontheedge.org and click Listen Now for this free download. Whether you use them for your own personal study or for your small group, you'll gain new levels of understanding. Well, be sure to join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our series, God's Boundaries for Abundant Living. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.